Blog Talk Radio.
By him, without him, was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. And it's good to be here on another session of Truth on Blog Talk Radio. And it's a great blessing to be able to declare unto you the word of the Lord. Like I said, this is You're in Tune to Truth Ministry, and I'm your spokesman for the King of Glory. And have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? A lot of people say they are believers, but that is a legitimate question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So we'd like to welcome all of our listeners, our LinkedIn connections, our Blog Talk friends and followers, our Twitter followers, and our Facebook friends and followers. We say greeting, and we thank God that you are tuned in to Truth Ministry. We want you to know, as we know, that there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So we thank God. That is a quote from the church at Ephesus, one of the Apostle Paul's churches that he started. And the Ephesians, they are called, in the fourth chapter, and he's writing to people who are already saved, already had been baptized in the name of Jesus, already received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance, just like it was poured out on the day of Pentecost, on the Samaritans, down at Cornelius' house, and also in the 19th chapter of Acts, when Paul was passing through, came to Corinth, passing through Upper Coast at Ephesus, he found certain disciples, and he asked them the question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Their reply was, they hadn't even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. So he asked them, what then were they baptized? They said, under John. Said John said to the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. So when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So he was an apostle. He could do that. But the point being, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake with tongues. So you're not going to speak in your native tongue, but you will speak in another tongue, just like they did on the day of Pentecost. So that's the fulfillment of Joel 2:28. Shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So Jesus gave them an understanding. Thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This is St. Luke 24 and 44. So he said, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This is when he was on the road to Emmaus, after he had rose from the dead. He showed himself alive, many infallible proofs being seen of them, 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and told them that they should not depart, promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And he went on to let them know, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. This is in the book of Luke, because Luke is the one who wrote Luke, and he also wrote the Acts of the Apostles. So they asked him a question, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He had said those words, he stepped on a cloud and was received up into heaven. Two men stood by in white apparel, which were angels, said, ye men of Israel, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus which is taken up shall also come in like manner. So this is what we have to preach, is none other than Jesus. So it's a shame nowadays what people are doing. They are almost taking God's glory. This one so-called apostle on the Preachers of Detroit said to this one man that he was supposed to be laying hands on to consecrate him to be a bishop, which is crazy, the way throwing sheets over him, over people, and laying on top of people and all that. That's foolishness. That's not God. And I'm not afraid to say it is. But he had made a ridiculous statement saying, once I lay my hands on you, I can't take it back. And I thought to myself, you ain't Jesus. So this is the attitude that we have to have. Christ died for our sins, is what Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. The church at Corinth, he was letting them know, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part is fallen asleep. And he went on to let them know. And last of all, this is Apostle Paul's testimony. He was seen of me as one born out of due season. And he says, I labored more abundantly than they all. Talking about the other apostles, he says, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. That's who labored. So in other words, I let him work in me mightily, is what he said when he wrote to the Philippian church. He said, He worketh in me mightily. Talking about Christ. So that's what it's all about. It's not about us, but it's about Jesus. And he never left himself without witness. So this is what we have to do. We preach Christ, not ourselves. But nowadays, people are vaunting themselves and bragging on themselves and talking about they're not going to apologize for the way they live and all that. That's foolishness. Because what do you mean? It's not about you. No way, but it's about Jesus, the one who loved us and gave his life for us. So that makes us, we're important because he loved us and he cared so much for us that he laid down his life for us, but not for us to think we are so much that the message is about us and not about him. That's where it's all wrong at. They're magnifying themselves and not him. So we thank God that we know what the message is all about. And so here on Truth Ministry, we have been talking about the early church for quite some time. And, of course, my theme is the Godhead. So on today, what we're talking about on today is the conclusion of St. Paul's missionary journey. So we have been going through the Acts of the Apostles, and actually earlier in Truth Ministry, we did go through the book of Acts when we had Elder Ryan Fountain, who is an educator and a historian. He actually gave the history of the Acts of the Apostles. We walked through the book. So I've been going through the book again because we actually started off about a year ago. It's been about a year ago, talking about the early church after the resurrection of Jesus. And so we ended up going through again. So one thing about the Word of God cannot be exhausted. So His Word, Peter said, that we're lively stones. God's Word liveth and abideth forever. So this is the gospel by which we preach unto you. So this is what it's all about. It's about the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Actually, His coming. He came into the world to save sinners. Apostle Paul wrote to his son Timothy in the gospel. He said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So he was a chief sinner. He was a Pharisee of Pharisee. He was horrible. He persecuted the church of God and wasted it. But that's when he gave his testimony. He said, I am but what I am. I am what I am by the grace of God. So he wrote to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesian church. He says, ye with which were dead in trespasses have he quickened. You know, he's raised us up to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He says, by grace are ye saved through faith. By grace are ye saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He went on to let them know we are his workmanship. Talking about Jesus, we are his workmanship. So thank God for that. So on last week, we were talking about Paul continuing his missionary journey. He actually stood before Festus, and also stood before Bernice, and he stood before King Agrippa, and he gave his testimony. So they were on their way to Italy. And so actually the city Rome is where they are on their way to. So go back and just to kind of recap a little bit the storm that they were in, and then we'll have time to deal with the rest of this on this evening. But now, long after there arose against it a tempest, a tempestuous wind called Euclidon, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, running under a certain island, which is called Claudia. We had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so we were driven, and being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. In other words, they threw things out. And the third day we cast out with our hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. In other words, they thought the ship was going to be destroyed, and they would drown in the sea. It was the horrible storm.
storm that they was in. It was beating the ship. And, I mean, you know it was horrible. You didn't see the sun or you didn't see the stars for many days. And so should you desire to call in, if you have a question or if you have a comment, you are welcome. Our call-in number, 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. So after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them, said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss." In other words, they should have not went into the seas, at, you know, not as yet. "And I exhort you to be of good cheer. There shall be no loss of the of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." In other words, that was the Lord. "Saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, and as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it were fathoms. And when we had gone a little farther, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. And fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved." In other words, the waters were so rough. "Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And when they while the day was coming on, Paul besought them to take meat, saying, 'This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried, continued fasting, having taking nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, but this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you.' And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And when and we were all in the ship, 216 souls." So this is Luke writing here now. "When they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which thus they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. We had taken up anchors and committed they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoised up the mainsail to the wind and made toward the shore. And falling into a place where 2 ships meet, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves." So in other words, they ran up on the land, so which was good, really, instead of turning over. "And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape." See, they had soldiers on this boat, prisoners on this boat too. "But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they should they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get the land, and the rest, some on board, some on broken pieces of the ship, And so it came to pass that they all escaped all safe to land. God said nobody was going to be lost. So they was close enough to swim the rest of the way to land. And so we go on here, and this is what we wanted to talk about today. And it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. And so God's word that goeth forth out of his mouth is not going to return void. It's going to accomplish the thing you send it and prosper that which I please. And you could go right back to the book of Isaiah in the 55th chapter when he said, as the snow and the rain cometh down from heaven, that it maketh the earth to bring forth and to bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth not return unto me void, but is going to accomplish the thing I sent it and prosper in that which I please. And he's actually literally talking about snow and rain and seed that it may give bread to the eater, seed to the sower. He ain't talking about money. He's talking about the farmer planting seed to grow wheat. And so this is where people pick that up and talk about, you give seed to the sower, sow that seed so you can get it. He ain't talking about seed. He's talking about bread, food, wheat in that particular scripture. So you got to give the sense of the word. And this is what was so important in Nehemiah, the scribe said, so they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Nehemiah 8:8. That's one of the most important scriptures in the Bible. You got to give sense to the word, not do violence to the scriptures, cramming it in, wham, beating it with a hammer to put it in a place where it should not be. That's why Apostle Paul told Timothy, his son in the gospel, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So it's the truth when it's rightly divided. So you can't just put stuff wherever you want it to make it up to be where you want it to be, or else you could use Judas went and hanged himself. You can take a scripture from somewhere else and say, go and do thou likewise. No, that isn't what that's talking about at all. That doesn't go together. So you can't do that. You're doing violence to the scriptures when you do that. And so when they had escaped, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire. So in other words, they showed them great kindness and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. You know what? A viper is a deadly snake fastened on Apostle Paul's hand. When the barbarians saw that the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not to live. He shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. No, God was protecting him. He is not a god. And in the same quarters, in the same quarters were possessions of the chief men of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. See, they got treated nice on this particular island. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever, and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Remember Mark 16 and 15, he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And he goes on to say, these signs shall follow them that believe. And he said, in my name he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. He said, these shall find signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So that's two things right there. That beast, that vehemoth beast, viper, came out of there and got on hold on him, and Paul shook him off, and he didn't do him no harm, and he actually laid his hands on this man's son, and this man's father actually, and he laid hands on him and healed him. So he's steady fulfilling the scripture. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. Now, how many people are doing that today? That's why I say you have to be careful. People are calling themselves apostles. To be an apostle, you had to be chosen by the Lord. You had to be taught by the Lord personally. You had to be an eyewitness. Their job was to write the New Testament script, to lay the foundation. That's the foundation we're built upon. The foundation, Ephesians 2 and 20, of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So they laid the foundation, and they wrote the New Testament scriptures, and they died horrible deaths. That's the sign of being an apostle. These works that death is imminent for the apostle Paul, and he's yet fulfilling the word of God. God is working in him mightily. So he says, when this was done, others which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. See, this is Luke writing here in the 28th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And when we were departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. From thence we fetched a compass and came to Regium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Petrolia. And we found brethren, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. Remember, they were sailing to Italy. But Paul said that he was going to go and testify. The Lord said Paul was going to go to Rome. And so he's going to testify of the Lord. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us. As far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. whom, when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. This is Paul giving testifying here. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of, for this cause. Therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. What a testimony. They said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judas of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Think about that. The Apostle Paul himself showed them, testified, and preached Jesus out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. And when they had agreed not among themselves, they departed after that. Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them.
So, what a testimony this man had. So, really have to understand, this is what he was saying when he went to Rome. He was saying, I'm ready to preach to you which are at Rome, because he had heard about them, and he went to them to impart unto them some spiritual gift. And he's saying, I'm ready to preach unto you which are at Rome. You know, I'm debtor to the Jews and also to the Greeks, to the wise and to the unwise, for as much as lieth in me is. And he went on to let them know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believed, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What is it about the gospel? It is therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed, as it is written, from faith to faith, for the just shall live by. So that was his mission, that he had to go to Rome. So he goes on here, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. See, so like I've said before, the Jews go to that wailing wall, and they wail, and they don't realize that Jesus already came. When he come back again, they're going to see the nail print in his hands and in his side, and they're going to ask him, when did you get those? And he's going to say, I was wounded in the house of my friends. So they didn't accept Jesus as the Messiah, as a nation. Remember I was talking about in 2 Corinthians when Moses came down, he makes mention about when it shall turn to the Lord, then the veil shall be taken away, which veil is done away in Christ. when Moses came down from the mount the first time, he had the two tablets in his hands. He was very disgusted and hurt because Aaron had hearkened unto the voice of the people, and they made a golden calf. So he threw down the tablets and break them. He had to go back up into the mount. He was up there for 40 days. He neither did eat bread or drink water. He had to write them himself. He was in the presence of God. So when he came down, he wist not that his face shone. In other words, the glory of God was in his face. He was lit up. He had to put a veil over his face when he talked to the children of Israel. And when he went back and talked to him, talking about God, he took the veil off. Well, this is what Apostle Paul is making mention of, says that veil is done away. Christ says, it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. So the it he's talking about is them turning their heart to God. As a nation, Israel still don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Not the nation, some, the remnants. So the 12 tribes of Israel, the 144,000, which are the 12 tribes of Israel, they're not the Jehovah's Witnesses. That John Wesley, whatever his name was, that whatever year that was after Pentecost. So you see, they are false witnesses. They are not the real Jehovah's Witnesses. But the real Jehovah's Witnesses are the apostolics, because they know who Jesus is. And this is why John wrote, he said, he that knoweth God, knoweth God heareth us. So in other words, us who? The apostles. You got to hear them. It's like I made mention that he gave John the revelation. He gave Peter the keys, and he gave Paul the mystery. So the apostles, doctrine, the 12 apostles whom the Lord Jesus Christ chose. And so it's still a fact that there are no apostles today. So people can call themselves whatever they want. It's amazing. Men and women are calling themselves apostles. Like I made mention about Wayne T. Jackson called himself an apostle. In the book of the Revelation says people are calling themselves apostles and they're not. He said, but they've been found liars. And I was saying that he's talking about he's going to lay his hands on consecrate this one individual on there, a bishop, and he was saying that once he lays his hands on him, he can't take it back. And he take what back? First place, Dwayne T. Jackson is not an apostle, for number one. Number two, he's not Jesus. So we can't be afraid of these people nowadays. They're got beside themselves. And one thing you always have to bear in mind, you can search the scriptures out for yourself. And then not only that, whatever Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ says, trumps what any man says. And this, Jesus said, take heed that you be not deceived. Take heed that no man deceive you. So it's on us. It's contingent upon us. And this is what the onus is on us. And not only that, but Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and he testified and exhorted with many other words, and he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So that is so anyway, so he says, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt two whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him. preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So we know history lets us know after that time, he did end up going to Nero's chopping block. He was beheaded. But he said, he wasn't afraid to go to Rome, to go to Jerusalem. He says he knew he had to go to Rome, but he says that he wasn't afraid only to suffer, but he was that he was ready to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So just we nowadays, how many people are willing to die for the name of the Lord Jesus? And I'm going to get, and what I mean by that is to really get technical, these so-called apostles. I mean, are they ready to die for the name of the Lord? I can tell you they're not. No, they're not. They might not be afraid to preach or whatever, but we just have to be careful what you do, what you label yourself, because there are no apostles today. So it's get into an argument. So you just, you know, the Bible lets us know to follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. But it matters not who get upset. That's their problem. But the truth, Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. So I made mention here in the book of Romans, since we have concluded the missionary journey and the Acts of the Apostles, the little time that we got left here. So this is Paul's masterpiece here in the book of Romans. So, and then, you know, he had went to Rome, and this is where he was. He ended up in his own hired house there. And so he was teaching and preaching, and no man forbidden him. But anyway, in the book of Romans, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his holy prophets in the holy scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which is made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the son of God with power, according to the spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. See, there it is right now. He was the last apostle for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be at Rome, be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. See, that's another thing. See, the Bible is technical. And so there's no such thing as sainthood. The so-called, you got to be, somebody got to vote you to be a saint, or declare you to be a saint, or to put you up for sainthood. That's foolishness. No, he called everybody to be a saint. If you are a child of God in the New Testament church, you're called to be a saint. People say, I'm no saint. You can call yourself whatever you want, but it's, you know, that's just a humble way of saying, you know, people say, I'm no saint, I'm not perfect. No, he told us to be perfect. And the point being, you got to understand about biblical perfection is he's telling us to be mature. So he called us to be saints. So we do call ourselves, in our churches, we say saints of God. And then other people have said that too. We know that certain ones, they talk about sainthood and all that, but you just have to be really careful. But the point being, just like Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So this here, Rome, and people pick this up and try to call Peter the first pope. Peter was no pope. Peter was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He wasn't no pope of the Catholic Church, as they would say. And the Catholic Church is at Rome, you know, it's an organization. It's in Rome, Italy. But God's holy mountain is in Jerusalem. Paul had heard of the saints at Rome. That's why he went to impart unto them some spiritual gifts, as we will see as we go on here. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Ain't no nobody got to put you up for sainthood. That's ridiculous. And the devil knows it too. And the devil is religious. And he can sing, he can preach, he can pray, he can do all of those things. But he can't live holy, and no one can live holy without the Holy Ghost. So he goes on here, grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So you got to understand who the Lord is. God is a spirit. God is, we can't see him. He's invisible. He's everywhere and every place. How big is he? We don't know. But heaven and earth can't contain him. That's why he said, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. He said to David, and to Solomon, his son, you can't build a house. In other words, you can't build a house to contain God. So he came into the world that he made. He made himself known in the person of Jesus Christ. That's why John wrote and said he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So he came in the person of Jesus Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. He was Emmanuel, God with us. So he said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ, for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. This is when he was in Rome. Now, God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Now, this is the Rome. In Rome, he's talking about making requests by any means. Now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant. He's talking to the Romans, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto. In other words, he was hindered from visiting them in Rome. But he goes on here, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. And he goes on here, I'm debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Rome was a horrible place. They did a lot of horrible things at Rome. I'm told in Rome, they cut babies out of women. They were ruthless. They were horrible. Savages. Savagey. They did things what savages would do in Rome. But he goes on here to say, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I am not ashamed of the gospel, Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Where? In the gospel, from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So he goes on here, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. And he goes on here. See, the Bible is scientific. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. See, that's my theme, the Godhead. Three times in the Bible, here in Romans, in the book of Acts, and in the book of Colossians. The only three times you'll find the word Godhead in the Holy Writ. So because that when they knew God, they glorified him neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and the birds and the four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them also, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. That's talking about homosexuality, what that's talking about. He goes on here, to change the truth of God, who changed the truth of God into a lie, worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men working with men that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. In other words, he let them go ahead and do their thing. See, that's what happened. See, people don't believe it. See, sometimes people be talking about Jesus didn't condemn homosexuality in the New Testament. Oh, yes, he did, because he even talked about some people is going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than it would be for them. And he also mentioned Luke, he mentioned, remember Lot's wife. She was an example of unbelief. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and we know why he destroyed them, because they couldn't even find 10 righteous people in the city. He said he would spare it for 10's sake. He won't destroy it if it was 10 righteous there, and it wasn't, and he destroyed it. So we got to believe the word of God, and God is not playing, so it matters not by people changing laws. That's letting us know. These are the signs of the coming of the Lord, as it was in the days of Lot. They planted, they sowed, they built. They did all these things. They knew it, Lot. They knew it, the fire. God sent down fire and brimstone out of heaven and destroyed them all. In the days of Noah, they ate their drink. They did all these things until the day that the floods came and destroyed them all. So, really, the key, people going to be eating and drinking and being merry, but the point he's making, they were unaware. See, life goes on, but you got to be, we're looking for him. This is why the Bible says, for them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's going to make his appearing, that is the rapture or the catching away of the church. He's going to appear. So we look, we know, we are aware that the Lord can come at any time. So that's the key thing. But all these signs, these people are making up these laws to satisfy themselves, but to be tortured and tormented in the lake of fire forever and ever with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And the smoke of your torment ascending up forever and ever, being able to look up and see what you miss and all, is going to be horrible, where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. God is not playing. All liars and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now people say, they try to make up excuses about hypocrites in the church and all that. Hope of a hypocrite, you got to know what the Bible says. The hope of a hypocrite shall perish. In other words, they don't have no hope. You don't want to come clean and do right, then you're going to end up, your portion with the hypocrites is going to be weeping and gnashing the teeth, because Jesus talked about hell more than he did heaven. So I'd rather be in church right now doing what is right, and the hypocrites, they're going to be lost anyway. They're going to continue on like Jesus said, have not I chosen 12 of you, and one of you is a devil. And he was talking about Judas Iscariot, which should betray him. So you can't destroy, you can't stop the movement. If you know, God made man, and he made woman for man. And he's not playing. He meant what he said, and he said what he meant. And so here, Apostle reading, they did not retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And so even ministers, I am a ordained elder. I can marry people. I'm not going to marry two men, and I'm not going to marry two women to each other. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stand up for what is right. After all, you do, you counsel a couple, a man and a woman, before you marry. You don't have to be the one to perform the ceremony. That's up to you to join them together in holy matrimony. Everybody that want to be married, I'm not going to perform their ceremony, let alone same-sex couples. I'm not going to do it, and you can't twist my arm and make me do it. So in other words, you got to stand up for what is right. And so this is what the Apostle Paul did. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. He literally laid down his life. He laid down his life for the brethren. In other words, he served until he could not serve any more. So he said, that's why he said to the church at Philippi, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, because God gave him the mystery. So this concludes the Apostle Paul's missionary journey. And so my question to you is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God bless you.
Hallelujah.